why do you want to be superintendent of the Hansborough School District?
You know, I am an educator. This is my 35th year in education, and I believe very strongly in education, and even more strongly in K-12 programs. I am the product of K-12 program. I have worked almost all of my career in K-12 programs, and was very excited to continue that work at a different level with a different perspective. And so I actually did some research, spent some time with the local newspaper and checked out Haines, and frankly, this is a part of Alaska I have never been and have not worked in, and so it intrigues me. I'm just excited to continue in education, but I really believe in the K-12 outlook.
So, as you leave your current district, what legacy are you leaving behind that has strengthened the district?
The district that I have just recently left, I believe that the biggest legacy is that of professionalism and systems that protect us. It's our policies, and it's our financial systems, and it's those things that are better articulated now, so that they don't fall apart when someone walks away. And I think that that's really, really important, that skeletal structure has to be maintained, and there needs to be a certain level of professionalism. We all have to agree that this is the organization that we are, and we all need to model that. And so I believe that I'm leaving that with them.
Thank you. So, one of the board-identified priorities in the Hainsborough School District is educational technology. Please describe what you would see in a school that is using technology effectively.
Well, first of all, we would see technology. We would see technology in the hands of students. We would see it in the hands of teachers. We might even see a parent center set up, depending on what is available for internet and so on. When I first began working with Title I many years ago, the first thing we did was set up a parent center so parents could come into the school. They had a place where they could be and access information and get information about the school and their students via technology. And so that became a major communicator. And in this day and age of snail mail, that's our most efficient communicator. So we would see that. We would see place-based learning using technology. It is my hope that before I leave education, that we will actually see joint projects being done and teamwork being done between schools and districts using technology effectively.
So if anyone has a follow-up question, they're just going to ask that directly. So,
very good.
Okay. I should have said that in the beginning. Okay, so this is a scenario question, and you'll probably find this very familiar. So you are the superintendent, and the state provides 63% of the revenue for your district. The state has a $4 billion shortfall, and education is not spared from cuts. How would you proceed to reduce the district budget?
Well, I guess I believe that the district isn't the superintendent. It is all of the communities, and that first we would need to take a look at, we meaning the board, and we need to have community meetings, and we need to put everything right out there on the table. People need to see the numbers. They need to see what we have, what the costs are, and then we need to start making recommendations as to where we could tighten our belt. Obviously, if education funding is going to be cut, but I will say right now, I don't think anything more is coming, but I have this sense of comfort that if we're not going to decrease. However, local funds may, because of this financial situation, but I really think that we need to establish priorities, and I have read the Hainsborough School District's, the board priorities for the district, and that makes perfect sense, but I don't think one person can sit in his or her office and decide where those cuts are going to come. I think that the public and the school board and the site councils and the staff need to be able to take a look at what is the budget, where is our shortfall, and certainly I could make some recommendations of things that would be least painful, but I really think that is a group decision and the recommendations need to come from everyone. And I know everyone has different priorities, but I really think those conversations need to happen and they really need to be honest. They can't be general, they need to be specific.
Situation in which you made an unpopular decision, why you made the decision, and how you managed the implementation of the decision. And so then the follow-up to that is, would you do anything differently today?
Well, I've made a couple unpopular decisions in my tenure as an educator, so I'll just reach in my little hat and pull out one. When I first came to the Kenai, and Kenai is where I spent the most of my time. I was in Bering Strait for 7 years, and then Kenai for 16 years. But in the Kenai, when I came in as a director of federal programs, or coordinator and then a director. And one of the first things that I did was to take a look at our Title I budget. And our Title I budget in those days was about $2.5 million. And what people were spending their money on. And this was just before No Child Left Behind landed. But we already knew what it was going to look like. And so I went to the schools, and we believed in some autonomy for schools to manage their programs and make those decisions. But there were some things that I said we just can't do any longer. First of all, we do have to hire highly qualified people. And that actually was in the law in 1964, so that wasn't a new thing. The government just never supported it. And the most successful people that we could afford really were certified folks. And so I got a lot of pushback on that. And then I also said, we're not going to buy rewards. You know, like those little sticky hands that you throw at the wall and they stick on the wall. And we're just not going to do that unless we have evidence that they truly make a difference in kids' learning. And my gosh, I had Scrooge on me for a long, long time. But hooray for my district folks, they supported me in that. And I got pushed back for about 18 months on that. But suddenly we saw scores, especially for our struggling learners, coming up higher and higher and higher. And it took about 2 years. And then it was just expected that we really are going to use our money to do the very best that we can. And more isn't always better. And so that was a very unpopular decision. I took some hits from a lot of folks on that. But it then became, we could show the evidence of success.
So and what would you do differently today in reflecting upon how that went?
I think I spend a lot of time in all of my positions. I spend a lot of time in schools and in classrooms, and so I really know what's happening in our schools, and I ask kids what's going on. I should have spent more time with the principals, and I would have, if I had it to do over again, I would spend more time with them. Not because I needed to know them better, but they needed to have a better sense of me. And I didn't do that, so.
All right. Does anyone have any questions for Norma? You give people a second to finish writing.
Sure.
Okay. Hearing none. So, do you have any questions for us?
I do have one big question that that kind of took the wind out of me this year because I never asked it and I should have. But that is, what would you want in an ideal relationship between the board and superintendent? What could the superintendent expect of you as board members? And what would you expect of your superintendent, especially in terms of communication and roles?
Okay. Wow, Wow, that's big.
Yes, it is.
We just had a workshop a couple of weeks ago with Timmy came up and spent 4 hours with us, and we did some board goals, and we talked about roles and responsibilities between the board and the superintendent. And I think what we have seen from our relationship, and of course as you've seen, if you've done your research about Haynes, so we had a superintendent last year who took another position and broke her contract over the summer, and so we now have Rich Carlson as our interim superintendent. So I think what we're looking for is we're looking for honesty, integrity, communication, and communication in a way that's transparent and clear. Anybody else?
I'd say collaboration, teamwork, visible within the school, not just in your office.
And the community.
And the community outside. You need to be a person of Haynes. You're one of the highest ranking people versus the manager. And so we don't want you just in your office doing your things and shooting out emails. We want you actually with us.
And involved with the kids. We have so many great things going on in our district, and we hope that our superintendent, it's actually an expectation, right, that our superintendent will, show their face, right, be it basketball games or music concerts or, just things that the kids are doing, to take that joy in. To encourage them and show the kids that that the superintendent cares. So,
actually, I have a question for Norma.
Okay, Sarah Chapel has a question that she just came up with.
Sorry, Norma.
No problem.
It takes me a while sometimes. So I wanted to just get back to the technology question again. The Haynesboro School District does have quite a bit of technology. We're one-to-one in the high school and in the middle school. We're working towards that in the grades K through 5. And what I'm wondering is, it's pretty new to us, this having more computers and iPads around. What would you do to evaluate the use of technology in our school district? How do you figure out whether it's working or whether it's effective?
I am so glad you said that, because we have for two decades now thrown technology into the classrooms and just assumed that someone would figure it out. And I am a firm believer that we don't put people into positions without providing training and support and some backup for that. So the first thing I would do is to meet with staff and have principals obviously lead that conversation as to how are you using technology, how would you like to use it differently. There's some great learning tools that also come along with the curriculum materials, but we have to be trained. We can't just sit down and figure it out. No one has that kind of time. As you have, many of you have probably experienced, even when you get a new email system, you just dread it, and you'd rather stick with the dinosaur than take all the time it takes to learn something new. And so as a school district, I think that training is really, really important, and we just need to do it. We need to provide that time, and then we need to provide returning support in the classroom for doing that. And we also, then we need to ask folks, now what do you need next? And that training needs to be continuous as new people may come on board. We can't just assume that they're going to pick it up. We really must plan deliberately in how to use these different tools that come into the classroom. But I think we also need to really evaluate what our needs are and not just jump on the next bandwagon that comes along. I know smart boards are really big, and we've got smart boards everywhere. Except now that we're finding that they're getting old and they have to be replaced, and that's costly. And so we really, really need to know what we want and know in terms of what is the outcome, and then choose the right tools to make sure that happens. But I am a firm believer in training and professional development.
Thank you.
Great. All right. Any other questions here in the room? Okay, so hearing none, did you have any other questions for us?
Did anyone else want to add to her question? I'm just wondering if anybody else in the room besides you, Anne-Marie, wanted to say what the board was looking for.
Oh, right. Okay. So does anyone else want to add anything else to Norma's question about what we're looking for? Mike, did you want to?
No, it was covered.
No.
I just think the biggest one is that open communication between the two. That's kind of what hurt the last one. Mm-hmm. There was no communication, and we were basically getting snowballed with information. So I think that open communication is what we're looking for a lot. Open and honest. I mean, sometimes honesty hurts. Yeah.
Yes, it does, but it is important.
It has to be honest. If it ain't honest, it really hurts.
Absolutely.
Okay, so anything else? Any other questions that you have for us?
That was my big question. That is the thing that is most important to me is honesty is two ways, and I know you expect your superintendent to be honest, but I would need board members to be honest with me if I am going down the wrong path or I'm doing something that has offended someone. Folks need to tell me. And I take criticism really well, and I fix issues immediately. So I'm glad to hear that that's important for you. And I also saw that very same thing in your job posting. So mm-hmm. I obviously that is important to you.
So I think you would find that we are that we're a pretty honest group, and we are all pretty forthcoming and direct. I know we had a lot of good conversations when Timmy was here. And one of the things that we were talking about, that you had in your application was about micromanaging. And so that was one thing that we talked about. You know, and I think it's sometimes we bring up, oh, in the past, you know, these things have been done, it's been tried this way, which is more of an informational kind of giving information to, you know, our current superintendent, Rich Carlson, as opposed to telling him, oh, you need to do it this way, you know, but simply, you know, providing information. And I think we all try to be, aware of that and to say, we're not trying to tell you what to do, but, you know, here's some food for thought as you decide what, you know, how you want to proceed. So we try, I think we try to be really careful about, you know, what our role is and not to get, you know, into the nitty-gritty day-to-day administration.
Great. Good. Okay.
Okay. So our process from here on out is that we're going to meet tonight and select the finalists. Timmy and Peggy will be in touch with you tomorrow. Tonight, something. And so then we're going to have the on-site interviews here in Haines, February 22nd to 24th.
So, very good.
So I just really, again, want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
You're very welcome. I was excited to be included in this group. So thank you, and good luck to you. I know you have a hard decision to make.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care.
Have a good day.
Thank you.